You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Graduation curse is over, my man.
How's the heart? How's everyone's heart today?
It's beating. It's beating.
That was...
I almost stopped someone's heart from beating when that shot went in. I don't know what got over me. I was watching it at a restaurant beside my house, waiting to get food to go. And I got so jacked up when that thing went down, I grabbed the guy beside me and put him in a headlock and just started squeezing. I was so pumped up. And I had to say to myself, okay, take the guy out of that. Because everyone went crazy. And I just grabbed him and put him in a headlock. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
What if he was a 94-year-old man and you've
Well, everyone erupted at the same time. And I don't know what happened to me. I just lost control of myself and I put him in a headlock. What a moment.
That guy's going to show up at TSN with a neck brace and sue you.
Exactly.
That's the next move.
And he's got it on closed caption video of you choking him out.
Here's the O-Dog putting me in a camel clutch. And now I have a neck brace on. And this is my lawyer, Salino and Barnes. And I will meet you in court. But it's worth it, man.
Yeah. What a moment. What a game.
Well, there's only so many that pop up, right? There's only so many where were you when type moments. And in Toronto, I mean, they're far and few between. Did I say that right? Few and far between. Yeah. There you go. Because everyone today is like, was it the bat flip in 15? Was it the shot from last night? What's the most memorable moment? And really, those are the only two that really stick out.
Yeah.
Edwin with that walk-off bomb in the 10th against Baltimore in 2016 in the wild card game. The Maple Leafs have not supplied anything.
Dougie G's overtime.
But that's a long time ago. I'm talking about in the past decade. The Leafs have, at some point, supplied great moments, without question. But if you look at this decade, from 2010 to 2019...
No, there's nothing.
The only thing I could think of, this is going to sound crazy, I think it applies, it would be somewhere in the top 10, somewhere between 6 and 10.
I know what you're going to say, the lottery.
No, we're talking about games. You're right, because a lot of people were writing me over the weekend, or last night, basically saying, oh, last time I was this excited was when the Leafs won the lottery. That doesn't really count. That's an off-season move.
Yeah, this is a live event.
This is real stuff.
They don't have anything, though, for this in the last 10 years.
The only thing I could think of was the Bozak OT winner Game 3 against Washington. Remember that? The first time they went back to the playoffs, Bozak scored OT winner. Sidewall, Kadri hit him in the slot, and he kind of pushed it into the net, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they went up 2-1. That's it. That's the only big moment I can think of, because they didn't have any overtime
games. Here's how big it is.
Against Boston.
Here's how big on the scale of it is. I'm trying to visualize that goal. I can't.
Exactly. So it's nowhere close to the top five. It's not even close to the Kawhi shot.
Bozak in overtime?
Yeah, game three at Scotiabank.
I know what happened in that, but I'm trying to visualize the goal. You just talked me through it.
Kapanen scored in double OT of game two in that series.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that one. I don't remember the Bozak
one. There you go. It doesn't even count.
So that's 21 on the list, but actually, if you get back to...
There's a picture of it, I think, of Morgan Riley and Kadri. It's a great...
Kadri on the sidewall, he hit him in the slot, and he kind of shoveled it into the net from the slot.
But it just doesn't stand out.
That's it. The Leafs aren't even included
in
this.
But that doesn't stand... Like, that's round one in game three?
Exactly.
That's not...
That's it. That's all they got.
Yeah.
Those are the biggest moments. And the shot last night is one that immediately the biggest shot in franchise history... And the most memorable shot in franchise history, because it pushes Vince
out
of the one spot.
Yeah.
Right? Because they couldn't hit the shot in 2001. They couldn't hit the shot in 2014 against Brooklyn. Remember against the Nets when they were here and Lowry coming out of a timeout, couldn't get a shot off, and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Deron Williams, they ended up winning that in game seven. It had to be Kawhi.
Yeah.
It was ugly. It was the 97 Chevy Tahoe shots, because it clinked off the rim four times.
But he had missed the free throw to make it a 2-point game instead of a 3-point game, and Butler goes down to tie it. And I know Steph is going, I don't know what everyone was doing at the time when Kawhi misses and then Butler goes down.
Right.
When it's 90-90, what's everyone doing?
What are you thinking?
Overtime?
There they go again. They're doing it again.
Yeah, I figured overtime. Because, again, it was a play where, he tried to get some separation. 4.2 on the clock. That's not a ton of time.
No, it's not a lifetime, but it's enough for...
It's enough because you got all the way to the side.
What kind of design play is that? I'm going to run 100 miles an hour around the horn and then just toss one up there, and I'm going to end up in the locker room by the time it goes in.
Exactly. And Embiid played it beautifully. Simmons and Embiid defended it beautifully.
They pushed him as far as they could. He just made an unreal shot at the most opportune time, and it was that first bounce seemed like it took forever. Like, it went up. Like, I would like to see the Libero guy to break that down to see the arc on the ball first and foremost.
They did it, yeah.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that. Where the arc on the ball, then after the first bounce, there was two bounces, right? Two rim bounces.
Well, it went four times it hit. It hit the front rim twice.
Right.
Because it was a moonshot. The guy almost hit the roof to get it off.
Yeah, he had to lob it over.
Right, he had to get it over
Embiid. And that ball usually bounces out every time.
In Toronto, it always does. In Boston, that goes in. In the Bay Area, that goes in.
Yeah,
in New York, it goes in. In Toronto, that doesn't go in. And if Drake is in the building, I don't think it goes in.
How about his 76er shorts?
Listen, I appreciate that.
I don't think he was in the building last night.
He wasn't.
No, stay he was home. On his plane.
I know it's stupid, but honestly, just stay home. Stay home and wear the other team's attire and do it that way.
That's what he did. He posted on Instagram. He had his phone out and he was taping it. We have it up on the screen right here.
Yeah, I think he was in his plane, was he not, or no?
I don't know where that is. Yeah, he's got a new plane. He could have been up in the air. It might have been just at home. Maybe he's in LA, he's on the road. I don't know where he was.
Just keep up with that routine. Just stay away.
Which this is why I love this move from Drake, because there are two options here, two outcomes with him wearing the Philadelphia 76ers shorts, obviously playing up the curse. Either, one, he's having fun with it, which he should. Why not?
Exactly.
Everyone goofs on you all the time. Everyone talks about it.
Or if they win, he's a 76ers fan.
Or, well, see, I hadn't thought of that option.
No.
The second one is he legitimately knows he's a curse, and he's going to use his powers for good. Like, he gets that he's actually a curse. And he's like, forget it. I'll wear Philly garb, and
okay,
I think we're going to find a way to win now.
Okay, so is he going to wear Giannis's jersey?
Yes, he should.
So is that going to, like, is this guy allowed back in the building in your mind?
I don't think so.
One of the funniest tweets I read all year was Vladdy after hugging Drake at the basketball game. 1-for-10, errors, batting for, like, everything is
flatlined.
Flatlined.
Yeah.
Since hugging Drake.
He hugged Drake, and he turned into
a gas can.
Roger Dorn. Like, he was a disaster immediately.
Well, he's starting to come out a little bit.
Yeah, he's coming alive. He actually had a decent weekend. He got on base a fair amount. Vladdy's too powerful for the curse of Drake.
I don't know. It's starting to just wash off right now, a month later.
Right.
Like, it's been a month-long curse for Vladdy from Drake. But I, as much as and as hard as I am on Drake, I respect it last night. I actually sent you guys a pic, but I sent Nabil a pic of the guy with the jock over his face and said, you know, Drake's going to sleep well tonight. And Nabil wrote back, him and I had a great conversation. And I said, I have to throw out props. Like, that is respect to a guy who, you know, certainly loves the team. When it comes to basketball, I don't bug him as much because I know he's an ambassador for the Raptors. Like, that's legit. And he does bring business to the league. I give that. But it's just, he's such a superstar that he just doesn't need to act like that. But last night, I thought it was really cool.
Well,
because I
was surprised he wasn't there.
I assumed
he would have been in the building. But that was pretty funny, too. Someone sent me a note last night wondering if he walked in and someone just chloroformed him and threw him in the back room, like, and said, you're not allowed in the building.
Masai, like, had him carried out of the building. Like, get this guy out of here.
You're right.
His seats were sitting there. I'm like, when is this dude showing up? And he never did.
He never did. And so he was wearing 76ers shorts, and it worked out. That shot went in because of the curse of Drake on Philly. But, you know, that shot, it saved a lot because it saved the fact that Kawhi missed that second free throw.
Yeah, that's an afterthought now.
It was a sloppy game. It was like a grit grinding 80s mucking it up, like mid-range, ugly offensive game.
I had such a negative feeling at the first half. Like, I was like, they're not making it's just not their day. They're not going to do it. It was just ugly.
Right.
Well, Danny Green wasn't like
Danny Green, nothing. Gasol,
like,
offensively,
I'm,
nothing.
I'm looking at the stat line. I'm like, man, because actually Philadelphia was getting a little bit of production from their bottom players, and the Raps weren't. I was getting a little bit concerned as the game was going on, but
your man Serge hit some clutch shots.
He did.
Like, outside of Kawhi, that was Serge Ibaka last night. Serge Ibaka saved them last night.
Yeah.
Like, he was the only guy that was hot from three. He went 3-for-5 from three. They started the game 0-for-9 from three. Danny Green only attempted 1 3-pointer last night. Like, it was a pretty shocking outcome, but all of it becomes, the details are totally irrelevant because of that shot. Because of what Kawhi managed to pull off.
I talk about this a lot, about goaltenders, how they could save you a lot of, like, game tape.
Yeah.
Because if they stand on their head, you just kind of sweep it under the carpet.
You're like, hey,
we won. We're advancing.
Missed your guy there, but it doesn't
matter. That shot going in saves so much breakdown. And can you imagine dissecting that? The post-mortem of that? We got to break. Like, that just saved everything.
Okay, so let's go hypothetical. He misses the shot last night, and they lose in overtime. All right, is Messiah on fire? Like, where would people be at today?
Oh, today you're freaking out because that was his last game. He's never going to play for the team again. How did they lose this series? They choked it up at home, and it's just a mess today.
Yeah, because you start to go, where are you at with Lowry? Where are you at with these players?
Absolutely.
Now you've got another. Now, Milwaukee's not going to be a
no, they're underdogs.
The they're,
Milwaukee's been the most consistent team all year. They're a top five offensive team, top five defensive team, well coached. They have home court. They took 3 or 4 against the Raptors, and a couple of those games they dismantled Toronto. But I liked what Kawhi said postgame. He said, hopefully this is a game and this is an experience that we can grow from. Yeah. You know, yeah, we had to go 7, and Milwaukee went 5, and Milwaukee's sitting at home waiting for us, and they're going to be healthy, and game one's on Wednesday night. It's going to come at you pretty quick, and it won't be easy. But can you catch a rhythm? Can you learn anything from this? If you're Nick Nurse, I would assume that's probably what you're selling to your team.
I don't know if you guys saw Kyle Lowry's comments, right? He was interviewed right on the court. I thought he handled it very well. He goes, Kawhi's a superstar. Like, he was actually in awe of the shot as well. And then he said, we got a lot. We have to play a lot better. We have to be a lot better against Milwaukee. But he wouldn't. And I can't remember who it was that asked him. Was like, where were you? And Vince, he doesn't matter. I'm here now. I actually thought that was a fantastic comment.
Right. Well, I think he brought up the Vince shot, though, unprovoked. I think he was like, Vince missed it 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And Kawhi made it tonight.
Yeah.
And that was, again, so necessary because it just kind of, it puts that whole storyline to bed.
Narrative to bed, yeah.
That whole thing, the fact that they choke away big games. And Vince, that was the most memorable shot in franchise history, was a miss.
Yeah.
A brick from Vince when he was in North Carolina like 4 hours prior to that shot or whatever it was.
Every time something comes up, like that shot has been coming up today and what he... I still can't believe it. I still can't believe he did that.
It's still the most shocking moment in Toronto sports history.
Really?
I think so. Or the most outrageous or absurd
or
whatever.
I was just sitting on the couch enjoying it. I had a big smile on my face. And
no,
like,
I'm talking about Vince going to his graduation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Day of Game 7, not last night. I'm talking...
That's been coming up a little bit. You know, the curse is over, the graduation. And as soon as that comes up, I think about it. I'm like, I cannot believe that guy did that.
Walk me through it again. Like, this guy goes to his graduation.
He took a private plane to North Carolina to graduate and then a private bird to the game in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
he graduated that day.
That day. He flew down either the night before or the morning. I believe he took the MLSE plane.
Right, right.
Which, again, blood is on the hands of, the Maple Leafs or the Raptors in MLSE. It wasn't MLSE back then.
Right.
Are you sure about that fact? He took the team plane?
I'm pretty sure he took the team plane. I think he said, I'm going.
Because a lot of times they'd be like, get your own plane.
Well, I know, but I think it was like, okay, if you want a complication, maybe I don't make it back.
Right.
Like, I think they felt, this guy's going. He'll take the train down there if he has to. He's going. So we might as well control.
Right. We'll give you a bird and
make sure that it's our pilot and we'll make sure that you get back in time. We'll figure those details out. I can't imagine what was being written back then. Talk radio, like if Twitter was around.
Yeah.
Like imagine if Twitter was around when breaking
it's
news.
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he's throwing his cap.
Vince is in North Carolina, he's in Chapel Hill graduating and then gets back and playing that night. Game 7, the biggest game of his career. Yeah. It's still shocking. It's been 18 years.
I had...
Shocking.
On the very, very smaller scale, remember I had something like that happen to me. I was playing in the playoffs in junior, and I had a death back home that I had to go to, and the team in Lethbridge flew me back to Edmonton to go to the funeral, and I flew right back. But it was because we were heading into like a game 7, and I was starting. But there was a depth. It wasn't, hey, I want to go throw my my cap and be a hero.
It'd be a hero. Like, congratulations, you graduated from school. That's a great accomplishment. But you've already accomplished it. Like, you graduated.
Like, we would be going nuts right now if it was turned
phone
back
lines
the clock.
Would be open.
We had our show, and this guy was going to a graduate.
I was thinking that yesterday. Like, if an Amber Alert went out, Kawhi's been spotted in Keswick. I'd be like, what? Keswick? Get that guy back to Toronto now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if he was in Brampton, I'd be like, what are you doing in Brampton? Yeah. Shut down the 410, get this guy access right downtown, and make sure he's within 100 feet of Scotiabank Arena at all times. This guy's out of the country, or out of the state anyway.
It wouldn't surprise me, though. Like, with Kawhi, he's so... I went back and watched TNT?
The TNT interview. Had a call last night.
He's just so... I love him
nonchalant.
As an athlete. I love him as an athlete. There's no ego. There's no, you know, hey, it's about me. And he could have made it all about him last night and just had the parade for himself. But he's just a... He's a very likable superstar.
He definitely is a unique dude.
He's my favorite Toronto athlete by far. And that's no disrespect to anybody who, you know, a guy like John Tavares who's local and very quiet and just goes about his business. But Kawhi's a unique guy, but I've never seen anybody who just...
It's 100% genuine.
Yeah, it's genuine.
When he shows emotion like he did last night, and you would expect you would, you just hit the first buzzer beater in Game 7 history.
Yeah.
Never happened before in a Game 7 in the NBA. I would expect some raw emotion, and he showed it. And because he's generally robotic, people are like, can we speak about those human tendencies that you showed?
Yeah.
And he spoke about it post-game. You want to hear what he had to say? Because
absolutely.
I think his explanation actually speaks to his professionalism and what really works for him. Because we said this on Friday leading into the game on Sunday. The one thing we could guarantee is Kawhi's going to show up.
Yeah.
Like, he is going to play well. This guy does not pull a no-show maneuver in big games. And he spoke about his reaction to the shot postgame. Here's what he said.
You know, pretty much, I'm a guy that acts like I've been there before. So probably the last time you probably see me scream is like when we won. So whenever it's like a moment where I haven't really experienced, I probably try to give some emotion, show some emotion, and let it just come out. So, you know, tonight was one of those nights. I've never been in that situation before. And like you said, it's the first shot somebody hit a game winner in game 7. So I just showed emotion. And it was great. It was a great feeling. I'm just happy that we can move on to the next round.
There you go.
If he fell under the desk and went to sleep, would you be shocked? Like, he looks like he has ice in his veins.
Yeah. That's after, I mean, he's been showered, he's changed, he's got his New Balance gear on.
Do you want to throw any type of wrinkle in your previous offer?
I'll get in on the Christy Pitts $50 million, but I'll boost it.
$75 million at Christy Pitts. Did you see somebody tweeted at me? the IMAPs to Christy Pitts.
That is fine.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, what more can you say? Like, this guy.
I heard it best from a fan watching, said, I would give that guy $1 billion to stay here. He wasn't kidding either. He goes, they should just give him $1 billion.
Be hilarious.
It's everything right now.
Yeah. Like,
because now he's just added to his legacy.
And that was before that. Toronto. That was the last series that he was watching, and he just said, they got to give this guy $1 billion. Just keep him here.
Well, look at the numbers he put up. Like, he had, let me find it here. He had 243 points in the series. Only two players since the mid-70s have put up more points in a single playoff round than what Kawhi just did. Michael Jordan, 246 in the 93 NBA Finals, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the 1977 Conference Semifinals, he had 260 points. So this guy's putting up numbers. Like, he's in a category with Jordan and with Kareem. Like, from game 1 through 7, this guy dominated. And then he hit the biggest shot in franchise history.
Impressive.
Like, it's
ridiculous.
Anybody debating anything pertaining to this trade, you got to stop. Like, regardless of what happens in a month and a half. But the beauty of it is we still have more games.
Do you remember when they first traded for him? There was people outraged that they got rid of DeMar DeRozan.
I know.
outraged.
There was, because
how could you have done that to this team, to this city, to Kyle Lowry?
It's because DeMar.
Can you imagine those people? I don't hear one peep from them right now.
It's because of DeMar's reaction. Remember him on Instagram,
and
he had the lip
Vegas
going and all of that. Like, do you remember he posted it on his Instagram story, his disappointment. So it disappeared after whatever. But I get it. He was disappointed and upset, but if you look back on it, the better player came to the Toronto Raptors. It's hands down.
Every day of the
week. I'm already trying to prep myself for if this guy leaves too. I don't know what I'm going to think about him.
The only thing I was trying to think last night, are they at a successful season so far, or is it...
I still think you need more. You need the next
round.
That
was my question going to come in today, and I didn't want to be negative at all, because I was like, this is a fantastic moment for Toronto sports, but I was like, it's only the second round. Like, I'm expecting them to go to the finals on the back of Kawhi. Like, that's what my expectation. He's been that amazing.
Absolutely.
For all Raptors fans, him going to the finals... I don't think the duration or length of this playoff run has any kind of indicator in whether he's staying here or not. I think he knows right now. He knew 2 months ago. He knew before the season started what he's going to be doing next year. It has nothing to do with it.
I think you're probably right. Like, he puts forth a front. He's all business all the time, and right. I'm in the moment. And I believe that when he's on the court. I don't think he's sitting there in between possessions thinking, should I go to the Clippers or maybe I'll take a meeting with the Rockets or something. But these guys have a lot of downtime. It's the biggest decision of his life.
I'm
sure he's John Tavares knew that he would be a Toronto Maple Leaf before last season even started.
I bet you he knew in January. If in a candid moment, if we had 20 beer. And
well, with the four of us, we could maybe get through 50.
Yeah, exactly. If we had 20 beer and John Tavares in a canon moment, he probably would tell you, like, yeah, I was leaning towards it in January.
Yeah, I had made up my mind.
But I wanted to let it play out and see. I mean, these guys, they're like you say, they're human. Did you take anything from LeBron's tweet? Was there anything cryptic in there? I don't know these emojis.
Well, there was a report last week, and it wasn't substantiated by anything, because LeBron generally documents everything on Instagram or Twitter,
right.
And I didn't see anything, but that he was in Philly last week, and he was talking with Kawhi. And remember after your...
LeBron was in Philly.
That's what someone reported. I can't remember who it was. And again, they said, I heard. They didn't say, I know.
Right.
So I don't even know if it's true or not.
But I didn't know what the bunch of... Did you see LeBron's tweet with the
exclamation? Well, the claw and then all that stuff is... He's following stuff. He does that. I assume it's all about recruitment. Remember when the Lakers were here and he went up to Kawhi and he said, we'll be in touch.
Yeah,
the camera caught him saying, we'll be in touch. He would love to have Kawhi Leonard in
LA. I know, but I feel like Kawhi on his flip phone would just flush LeBron's
totally. Calls. Especially now, he'd be like, man, I'm still playing. You're shooting movies. Leave me alone.
Exactly. Leave it be.
The shot versus the bat flip, we'll get into that a little bit more. Marcus Stroman and what he got up to on Saturday. John Gibbons is on the show this afternoon.
I know.
John Gibbons at 6:05. So we'll get his take on Stroman. And
we got to find out what Gibby's up to right now.
Definitely.
Stroman's active on Twitter, too.
Yeah, he's a big fan, apparently. He loves a retweet every once in a while. So we'll tell you more about that. And the Cup playoffs continue tonight. Game 2, St. Louis taking on San Jose. Sharks have 1-0. Could the Hurricanes be done? Maybe. We'll talk more about that later in the afternoon. Matt Devlin coming up at 5:05. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Tuesday, May 14th is Pizza Nova's 20th annual That's Amore Pizza for Kids Day. Walk into any participating Pizza Nova location on Tuesday, May 14th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and get a medium pepperoni for $4.39 plus tax. $1 from each pizza will go to Variety Village, the Children's Charity of Ontario, to support their programs. Shout out to Pizza Nova. They just sent...
I am shocked that you didn't do a circle about... Because usually any kind of chicken finger or pizza.
What's out there?
We opened the door and there was a bunch of billy goats sitting out there.
Oh, yeah.
The minute that the email went.
Every creep in this building.
The minute that the email went out, because Steph sent the email. Hey, just inviting everyone. Hey, everyone. Pizza. Come on, pizza down. Open up. We opened the door up. It's Studio 64 out there, or 54.
Just Studio rocking. 54. Ron Duguay.
Just rocking and pizza everywhere. TV people had come down.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's welcome. Meanwhile, the World Hockey Championships are being broadcast right now, so they got their special little buffet tables out there.
And if anyone from radio went near that,
oh,
they'd have their arms chopped off.
Yeah, Jamie Lannister, you'd lose a hand.
Exactly. I go full in. I'll just walk by any kind of buffet. I'm an employee. I'm entitled to it. I eat it.
I don't.
So you don't pay respect to the sign?
No.
Written in crayon?
You know, like there's tennis tournaments?
Oh, yeah.
That's my food, too.
Thing is, though,
you take all my food, now I'm going to take yours.
That food's been there since 3 o'clock in the morning for tennis.
I don't care.
So you go to open it up, and it's crusty, and they'll
whatever's
say,
up there, it's all of ours. We're all teammates.
Pizza Nova put together a feed out there. I almost lost a finger trying to reach for a piece of pizza, but I was able to fight through.
Is the grappler putting in work
grappler,
out there?
Yeah, he was boxing out. He was three in the key. He was like boxing out harder than they were in Game 7 last night.
Well,
like people were trying to get to it, and Mikey, Al's stunt double,
right,
was right in there as well.
The new riding. Al,
the new Al, behind the glass, and O had to ask him what he's doing behind the glass.
I thought we didn't have updates anymore, so I asked him, "What are you doing back there?"
What is he doing about
that? I don't know.
Social media stuff, right? Like he's helping us out that way. And it's his birthday, too.
Oh, shout out. There you go.
Attaboy. Shout out to
good man.
Al's brother. Al.
The new
that's
Al.
His name. Al's brother. Al's
brother. Well, the grappler was at Scotiabank last night.
Yeah.
And he said he was grappling Jack Armstrong after the shot went down. Like you put that guy in a chokehold at that restaurant. I guess the grappler put Jack Armstrong in a chokehold last night. And now Jack might have to sue the grappler, and as a result, maybe sue Overdrive. I mean, maybe he'll never come on the show again.
Did Jack look at you and say, take your grubby, dirty, filthy hands off me?
He was not nearly as excited about that finish as I was. Let's put it that way.
So how was the building? Was it just rocking?
What did you do?
Honestly,
did you like shake him, or what did you do?
Yeah, like after it went in, I kind of threw my arms up in the air, high-fived someone, and then just turned and kind of started grabbing and shaking him. And
just grappling.
Yeah.
He's 6, what are you, 6'5"?
Just under 6'4".
To what?
That's up for debate right now.
So you started grappling Jack Armstrong.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he wasn't upset by it, but he was a little more, let's just say he was a little more unbiased than I was.
Right.
He's a professional. Bet you in all of his broadcasting career, he's never been treated like that at a basketball
game. 20 years.
In 20 years.
20 years Jack's been calling games, and he has never seen that type of activity.
Never.
Get that garbage out of here.
He should have turned around and said that. Get the grappler out of here.
So the building was just on fire. I can't imagine. You could see it.
Oh, man, I wish we were there. Like, we were all there for the bat flip in 15.
So was Grapples. You were at both events. Which one strikes a chord with you?
Again, I mean, recency bias is always going to win out. Just because it was essentially like a walk-off shot, I got to go with Kawhi. Because after the bat flip, there were still two more innings to play.
Exactly. That's why, again, this may be recency bias. Because that being in that building, the buildup of the seventh inning, it was a 52-minute inning.
Yeah.
Was remarkable. But the game was tied when Bautista stepped in and he launched a nuclear weapon to left. I mean, that bomb, that thing came off the bat and it was going to land in Buffalo. But there were still two more innings.
Yeah.
They needed six more outs where Kawhi
ended it.
It's over. Like it's done. And the difference also, I think, is you've got to consider the history of both franchises. The Blue Jays, as great as that hit was, the bat flip. That's the coolest, one of the coolest moments I've ever seen live in the flesh, in the building. I don't think that will ever be replicated unless the Maple Leafs go deep into the playoffs and win like overtime game 7 or something like that at Scotiabank. But the Jays have won World Series before.
Right.
They walked off to win a World Series. As great as the Bautista bat flip was, it's not even in the same stratosphere as Joe Carter's.
No.
Not even in the stratosphere. And a lot of Jays fans would contend the Alomar bomb off Eckersley was even bigger than the bat flip home run.
I would say so.
Right. The Kawhi, like what he did last night, there's no parallel in Raptors history. There's nothing that comes close. And I understand it's only the second round. And they're only in a conference final. And they've been there once before. But we've never seen a Raptor do anything close to that.
Yeah.
Don't say only third round.
No, I understand
that. In the conference final, there's only
four
teams
left. But let's start getting greedy here. You know what I'm saying? Do you think in Boston they're sitting there saying, oh, the Bruins are in the fourth round. Like, let's everyone clap. Half the city probably isn't even paying attention until they're in the cup final.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference between a chance. Like, this is also what was at stake. You look at what Golden State did over the weekend. They're up 3-2. Kevin Durant's out. And they roll into Houston and they say,
yeah. We're not going back.
We're not going home. This series is over tonight. That's championship pedigree. Yeah. That's a team that gets it. That's a team that's been in the muck many, many times and come out on top. The Raptors have never done
that. They lost game six.
They were up 3-2, and they were brutal in game six. Yeah. Brutal in game six.
Yeah, and we were all nervous heading into last night's game.
Absolutely.
Like we were, you know, you're watching the game going, meh. I think we all thought with 4.5 seconds left or whatever it was like, we're looking at overtime here.
Felt
you
that way.
You think G-State is going to dummy Portland?
Yes.
And then dummy whoever wins the East?
I don't know about the finals. They'll be a heavy favorite.
Heavy.
If they play the Raptors, they'll be a very heavy favorite. If Milwaukee gets through Toronto in like six or less, Milwaukee's been legitimately the most consistent team all year. They have been unbelievable. It's going to be a really tough climb for the Raps.
Well, let's see what Kawhi can bring them to. Let's see what.
But they need more than Kawhi.
Well, I know they need Drake to wear a Giannis jersey.
Absolutely, he should be. He should move to Milwaukee.
Just when Giannis leaves,
get an
Airbnb
in Milwaukee for 2 weeks.
Yeah, if Drake doesn't move to Milwaukee for the next 2 weeks, he's doing the whole city a massive disservice.
Drake's rich enough, he could buy the seat right next to Milwaukee's bench.
Yeah.
And just sit there with a jersey on.
Like Marlins man, like the Sixers fan who was here in Toronto every game with his dumb sign down at courtside.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I wish I had that kind of money and that kind of time. Like Marlins man is a phenomenon.
He sits with a lady, does he not?
Usually a Deuce Bigelow. He's usually got a woman on both arms. And they are generally...
Yeah.
Pretty good-looking women, and I don't know how he recruits them, but,
what is he up to?
I don't know how that has
been. We have
to
get that guy on.
Yeah,
can't we get him on?
We should.
We should get the grappler to chase him down.
Yeah, try to grapple with the Marlins man, because... Yeah.
We got to get the grappler on more often, though. We got to start a segment. Grapple me this, or grapple me that. That's a good segment.
That is a very good segment.
Where we bring in the grappler. The just grappler a swinging.
Got a radio voice for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think you should reach out to Marcus Stroman, who's now my biggest fan.
I know.
Because
dude, you know what he's going to do though? He's going to dig up all your stupid tweets about you ripping him,
which I've ripped him more than maybe any other Toronto athlete over the past 3 years.
And on Twitter?
Well, on Twitter, on the radio,
he retweeted you and you got a lot of love for your tweet.
Yeah, I can't imagine having Twitter when I was playing sports. Like, you can see how engaged he is. He's chirping at Sid Cicero. Like, he's just getting in back. He cares what people are saying about him.
Well, he's thin skinned, though. I don't like that.
He doesn't follow me on Twitter. So someone tagged my tweet. This was from Saturday. If you missed it, he was in a jam. He put himself in a jam, I think, in the seventh inning.
And he went nuts on the mound.
Right. Montoyo came out to get him. And Montoyo wasn't even, you know, crossing the third baseline. And he was already saying, like, get out of here. I'm good. Give me an opportunity. Which I have no problem with.
Yeah.
I have no problem with the guy wanting to stay in the game.
Wanting to dig in.
Absolutely. Listen, did it have to continue into the dugout when he starts going at Pete Walker? That's probably unnecessary. But I have no problem with a guy being like, I can get out of this jam. It's not like he threw the ball into left field. You know, he handed the ball over, a couple of choice words, and walked away. I have no problem with that.
Who was it that David Wells chucked the ball down the field? You remember that? He walked off the mound and ripped the ball. That wouldn't have been Gibby, would it?
No.
We should ask Gibby who's had the most pushback.
Well, it was Ted Lilly. Ted Lilly, remember they went
down
the dugout.
The mound.
They were throwing bombs down like towards the clubhouse.
But David Wells got taken off the mound.
Yes, we bring that up.
We're going to bring that up to Gibby at 6:05.
Gibbons knows that the Ted Lilly heat is coming at 6:05.
Would it have been Cito?
I don't remember it. I don't. Was
you don't
it
remember?
In Toronto? I thought
yeah,
did that
yeah,
in New York.
It was David Wells. He walked off the mound and ripped it. Like, he just kept the ball and then just chucked it and threw it down the right field's sideline.
Okay, well, we'll figure that out because I don't remember who
the manager
was.
Look it up, Noodles, on YouTube.
Because he had a couple of stints here. Like, the second time he came back, he was not happy to be here.
No.
He had tasted the limelight in New York and won his World Series, thrown his perfect game.
What do I say? David Wells throws ball.
Gets pulled and throws the ball. I don't know.
Well, get the grappler to look it up.
Yeah.
But the thing is about Stroman and what happened on Saturday is, you know, it always comes back to the buildup. And this is a guy in Marcus Stroman who he's always looking for attention. You know, he wants people to notice him. He's looking for a reaction.
Right.
And when you're constantly seeking out a reaction, you're risking an overreaction.
Of course.
And that's what I think happened here, where a lot of people are already like on edge because they feel like he's going to big time the Jays, or he's not happy with what's going on here, or he's on Twitter or on Instagram calling out his front office or whatever.
Right.
So whenever you put yourself into the limelight with something that could be misconstrued as a me moment, people are going to run with it. So he's taking a lot of heat for it.
Yeah. I will say this as a disclaimer. I don't know how I would have reacted when I was playing and if Twitter was around, because I think you sometimes do get caught down a rabbit hole, you know, Googling your name or doing all sorts of things. I stopped that a long time ago. When Twitter first came out, I would do it, and I was like, I can't do this because it's just there's so many
crazy.
Yeah, it's just not worth it. Like now it's mute or block, and you move on with life, and that's it. I don't think twice about that person. But I think these guys have so much time, and they get caught, you know, down a rabbit hole. But it's thin-skinned, and you've got to figure out a way to get past that.
Twitter's got to come up with some kind of, like, where you can have a tweet where you just... There's so much bitching and complaining. I saw people in this industry just bitching at each other on Twitter about something so simple. It's like, I just have an option. No one can respond to this. Here's my thought. Here's my idea. But I just don't even want to see the responses.
Right.
I can't believe the amount of people that bicker on Twitter.
I don't know why people stick their nose in something that has nothing to do
with
them.
That's what it is.
Well, that is
that's one where I'd be like, you weren't involved in this. Why am I hearing from you?
Yeah.
Like, and everyone's been in that position where you tweet something out that's totally innocuous. It's totally harmless. And then someone's got to be like, what about this? And you're like,
yeah.
Can you just stay in your own lane and leave people alone?
I was just informed it was Cito, that boomer, chucked the ball down the field.
Oh, yeah?
We need to get the video of that.
Yeah.
I got to see that.
Those guys would... I mean, Twitter police, that's what it is. The moral compass for everyone. Like, I actually last night debated, as a joke, I wanted to put that picture of the guy sniffing the jock out there and say, Drake's going to sleep well tonight. And I, as a joke, because I thought it would be funny, but I never did
it. People just would have attacked you.
Exactly. Oh, you know, this is, like, who knows what would have been. It's racial, it's this and that.
I was like, nope, not
going near it. Because I was happy for Drake. I was happy for the Raptors. I was happy for the city of Toronto. Like, it was awesome. It was an awesome moment.
Yeah, it was an incredible moment.
It was an awesome moment to watch.
Yep. But, yeah, it was a where were you type of moment.
Exactly.
And like we said, and established off the top, and everyone would concede there haven't been many of those opportunities in Toronto.
Well, you know,
usually it's the shoe's on the other foot.
Well, and even as a fan, like I'm just sitting watching it as a fan, I'm like, this is great theater. Like that's just a great sports moment,
right.
Period.
And that's the beauty of it. And that's what was supplied last night. Like take advantage of a moment that
right.
You just you can't manufacture that. It has to come about organically. They had to lose game 6.
Yeah.
They had to play sloppy after a lead early.
He had to miss the free throw.
He had to miss the free throw, and then they had to shut down their transition defense coming back the other way.
It was so many different things that...
If you watch that ball in slow motion, it's just incredible that it goes in.
It's honestly is out of a movie. It's like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air scene. Like,
yeah. Where you're just watching it, and it goes either way. And
yeah.
Your
yeah.
nightmare, it doesn't go
Carlton,
in.
It's Carlton from Fresh Prince who's
just
like
watching it,
yeah.
And it doinks like 5 different times and somehow drops, and the whole crowd has the exact same reaction.
It was a movie reaction.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Matt Devlin had the call last night. Matty will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll get his take on how a shot like that, an unpredictable shot, and a shot that, you know, again, it could have rimmed out easily. It could have just clinked, and next thing you know, you're going into overtime. How does that affect the call?
Because we could have been talking today about how brutal Toronto sports is right now.
Yeah, that would have been predictable. You know, this is a very unique position that Toronto finds itself in today. John Gibbons coming up. Jeremy Roenick's on the show at 5:30 as well. We'll get into game 2 of the Western Conference Final tonight. St. Louis looking to even things up against San Jose. And Brad Marchand doing what he always does over the weekend. Your boy Justin Williams. He got caught, man. He got caught. We'll touch on that next. All right, Matt Devlin will join us in about 15 minutes.
Matty D.
I want to ask him if he was thinking about his final call, like before the inbound, 4:02 left on the clock. You got some time.
Somebody plugged in our boy Vern Lundquist and played Vern to Kawhi's shot.
There was Titanic music. There was all sorts of different. There was like calls in like Chinese. And
yeah,
like
the Korean call Korean. Was pretty cool. Turkish, I think, like Italian, like every. There were a lot of different
pretty
languages.
Cool.
Represented.
Yeah, and the Korean one, they went nuts.
Can't understand a word, then you just hear Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi Leonard.
awesome.
So Matty D will join us in about 15 minutes. Brad Marchand does it again. I don't feel good about Carolina. Personally, I'd go in, I'd put McElhinney in game three. I don't think they're going to do it.
He should have been in the third period last night. That was enough for Mrazek.
Yeah, I think I would have put him in too. Anytime you hit a six spot, my philosophy is don't allow him to allow the seventh. Six is enough. Six you can live with. Seven is a converted touchdown. It was always bad for the psyche. And you could have put McElhinney in, given him some reps.
I would have put McElhinney in, sniffed it out, because maybe he's starting the next game.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is or not. Brind'Amour hasn't announced anything that I've seen, but it sounded like Mrazek at practice today was...
He's in the starter's
he's
net.
He's in the starter's net. I'd go with McElhinney, personally.
Brind'Amour kind of... didn't take a shot at Mrazek, but said we need to make a save on the Grzelcyk goal and that. I think if that's maybe his version of like challenging him a little bit and then put him back in.
That's a garbage goal that can't go in.
It is.
That's like going down 2-0.
They could have. It doesn't matter who's in the net. Boston's a better team.
Yeah, they're better.
They're not. Carolina's not beating the Boston Bruins. They're just the Bruins are deeper. They're coached well. Not saying that Brind'Amour's not a good coach or anything. I think Carolina's a very fast team. They forecheck hard.
They might have just met their match.
It's just...
I think in a weird way, though, this Marchand character, this could be a positive for Carolina because it might be a rallying cry. Like, he's punking your captain, essentially. Like, him putting the C on his chest and all that. Like,
yeah.
Remember, we were talking about it last week with everyone down at Scotiabank kind of mocking Embiid, and I said, watch what you wish for, man.
I'm always fascinated by that take, though. What do you think that they're in the locker room saying, hey, guys, let's play good tonight because he did that to our... Like, what is your thought process there?
Well, I would like to think pride, you know, like, it's not the first... There are intangibles.
All you do is you take a number, and every time 63 has the puck, if you have a chance... To put a good clean hit on, that's what you do. It's
right,
not like
yeah.
you lie in bed before your nap saying, I hope I play extra good tonight.
Well, I understand that.
On my
yeah.
cap.
But you gotta, there's, because it would be easy for them to just say, we're done, right? Like they're down 2-0. So how do you get some positive vibes in your room?
Watch the last series when they were down 2-0 against Washington or the first series. They've already done it once.
Yeah, they have.
Right now, You're right. They're going to need to call on something. They do need a save, but they need discipline. And Boston's, their top players are playing great, but they're the middle of their rosters. Like Johansson and Charlie Coyle have been fantastic. And that fourth line turns over. This team is deep that David Backes doesn't have to play every night.
Boston's better, but we knew that before the series started.
Fifth and sixth defensemen are contributing.
Right, but Washington's better than Carolina, right? Tampa is better than Columbus. Like, so yeah. I think what the playoffs have taught us is it's impossible to truly predict. I feel good about Boston. I felt good about them before the series.
You know who
I'm not saying I don't now up 2-0, but if you're in Carolina, you got to figure out a way to spark something.
Right.
You know who I feel good about? The Guelph Storm, OHL champions. Unbelievable story out in Guelph.
Matt Devlin coming up, Jeremy Roenick in the next hour, John Gibbons at 6:05.